Last Sunday, I attended Debbie's Sunday school class with the middle schoolers, and they were on the subject of Hades, meaning the grave. And so I asked, how many of you fear dying? And so, of course, we got the church answers right off the bat, right? No, no problem. Yeah. Then they, as we talked a little bit, it's all said, oh, well, maybe you have, we have a teensy-weensy little bit of fear. But we know God. And then pretty soon, yeah, we're kind of scared. And so, I look at that and I think Paul said this, oh, death, where's your sting? And I put fear there because I think we're really talking about fear. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Because Christ was the victor, amen? And I think we would be terrified if we hadn't realized that Jesus walked our path. And through that, even walked our path in death and rising again. And so the grave no longer has the victory because Jesus walked out of the tomb and is alive this very moment and has proven his power over death, and he has the power to make us victors as well. Amen? Don't you love that? And we know the punchline. He rose from the dead, and here's some proof. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And again, the third day, and that he had seen Cephas, which is Peter, then by the 12, and can you go to the next? Yeah, thank you. Because what I've done on this scripture is I've added up all the people that have seen him. Then by the 12, after that, he was seen over 500 brethren at once. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen also by me, as by whom born out of due time, as one born out of due time. So when you add all those up, and plus Mary, and there are probably other people, a minimum of 528 people saw him after he rose from the dead. Now, I think that's pretty good proof, don't you? Man. And let's take a moment of prayer. Let's pray for any obstacles that may be in your heart because we want to have a teachable heart this morning. This is a great time for us for worship, isn't it? To think what our Savior did for us. So let's just pray that we have an open heart, and I'll be back. Father, open our heart to your word this morning. I pray as we take it this in that we too will have the laugh of those two guys on the video because we understand we're once again reminded that you rose from the dead and that because of that we will rise too. Lord, we appreciate what you've done all by your grace. And may you feel the blessing and the encouragement and the praise today that you totally deserve and even deserve beyond whatever we can give. And so we thank you, O Lord, for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was in grade school, on Easter Sunday, I had to wear my ill-fitting suit jacket and clip-on tie or normal tie, whichever one fit that particular Easter, with high water pants, because I grew fast, you know what I'm saying? And in those days, we called it hard shoes, if you remember. We had to wear hard shoes to church that day, and that was painful, unbending, unforgivable leather shoes. And I felt like I was going to choke to death on Easter's the whole morning. And at the church I went to, there's always a potluck dinner. And so my mom would have me come over and she would undo the button on my shirt because it always seemed to be too small no matter what. And then she would tighten back up the necktie so nobody could tell, because in those days you had to wear a suit as a kid, okay? And so it was a good fake that she would do, and the rest of the time at least I could breathe. And I love the music that we sang about Christ rising from the dead, and the sermon was always about Jesus coming alive, and which was kind of exciting to me because people around me, and you have to understand, I was in a Baptist church, okay, as a kid, and so people around me said amen and praise the Lord. They didn't always say other things because that belonged to other denominations, but we always had this big guy in the back. I don't know if you guys ever had that kind of thing, and you could hear him, amen, you know, and it went all the way across the auditorium when he would say that. You know, but there was not much understanding to me because I was young, and I didn't understand what it meant to die. And so it was hard for me to envision that Jesus would die and rise again. I thought maybe he just slept for 3 days, you know, that kind of thing. And until a family friend who was our little town's comedian, he was a funny, funny guy, had a heart attack and he died. And so we went to the funeral, and in those days you all had to walk past the casket. Do you remember that? Everybody, row by row by row, and I went past and I saw my first dead person. And then growing up, I began to understand what it meant that Jesus rose from the dead, because I began to understand and experience people dying in my life, especially relatives. I especially remember the occasion on my great-grandmother, Virginia Longfellow. She was part of Henry Wadsworth line. And she and I got along good, and I just remember when she started to get sick and sicker, and then she finally passed. Man, I wanted her back. Do you know what I mean? Man, I wanted her back in my life. She just could talk to me like nobody else could talk to me, and vice versa. And so it kind of makes me remember just how much death is so brutal. We've had a lot of deaths in this congregation the last year, a good 12, I think. Over the year, and I look at that and I think, you know, death is so temporary that we don't get it. I mean, the Bible even refers it to be like a vapor, where life is a vapor, because it comes and goes so quick, and all of us that are put on a little bit age, okay, feel like, man, was that fast? Man, that went fast. And Jesus said to his friend Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall live. And whosoever believes, excuse me, I remember the old King James, and so it's hard for me to read the new. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And then having asked her, he raised Martha's brother Lazarus from the dead. And he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. So the question for us is, do we believe that he's the resurrection and the life, and that we will never die? The disciples didn't believe him because they weren't there for Lazarus raising. So later, as they went to enter Jerusalem in the last week before Jesus is crucified, he pulls them over and said, look, the Son of Man is going to die and rise again. But they couldn't hear it. They didn't understand. Because like me in grade school, they heard it and they pondered it, but they never experienced or saw it happen. So with the promise made to Martha and us, it demonstrates to us the promise that we too will rise and be with Jesus and our loved ones, because he walked our path in death and in life to show us what the future holds. But I'm not sure we get the technical on this. And the most powerful reasons why it's so important that Jesus die like us and rise and walk out of the tomb. So let's join Mary as we read together our Easter passage. I've entitled this sermon, Two Tombs, Two Gardens. And next week, I'm going to have the second part of this sermon. So let's read it together. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there lay Jesus. Because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and came to Peter. And to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. And we do not know where they have laid him. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say, and John or me, he says, whom Jesus loved, because John was convinced that Jesus loved him, right? Just like he loves us. I love that, the way he does that. So put yourself in Mary's shoes as she walks to the tomb. There's no street lights, there's no headlights, there's no flashlights, no light of any kind. It's still darkness as Mary walks through Jerusalem's streets before dawn on the way to the garden in the tomb where Jesus' body lay. Mary, a woman from Magdala, Galilee, right on the lake where Jesus had his ministry, 80% of his ministry, her life was a disaster until this rabbi named Jesus comes along and changes her life. He gives her the words of life because all he lovingly said and taught her, he loved her just the way she was. And it changed her forever. He had healed her of illnesses and cast demons out of her. She was known as a prostitute because that's the only way she could make money. And so Mary Magdalene became a follower of Jesus all the way to his death. So now she's tormented, I'm sure, with grief as she walks the streets and comes to the tomb. And she has this thing in grief that we all get, which is, if only, if only, if only he hadn't come to Jerusalem during this time of trouble. If only his disciples had hid him somewhere where he couldn't be found. If only there wasn't trouble going on in the kingdom at this point. If only Peter had been able to take that sword and kill all the soldiers so Jesus could run for it. If only he had called the angels from heaven to stop this insanity. I'm sure Mary was going in her mind like that because he's dead. He's dead. And she's doing what we all do at some point or another. And that is attempting to reverse the past. To go backwards in the story and change events. How many would like to do that? But let's be honest, no matter how hard we try, it's not going to happen. And you know, maybe some of you are thinking today, some of you have pieces in your story that are filled with regret. Maybe even parts that only took a second, a minute, a decision. And you're saying to yourself, you know, if only I hadn't fiddled with that radio in the car that one moment. If only I hadn't gone to the party that night. If only I hadn't slipped the hotel card into a keyhole. If only I had listened better. If only I hadn't said the angry words to her. If only I hadn't chose an addictive lifestyle. Many of you have this image in your mind or something, and you would love to reverse it, to erase it. Some of you may not have had that moment yet. Oh, you will. You will. Because all of us have regrets and wishes that we could have settled things or change things like Mary, with someone who now is gone forever in her mind. And that sinking feeling that you cannot reverse or change is what has happened when they die and we can't talk to them. Mary slips out into the night before dawn and walks to the tomb in the garden to find Jesus' body, hoping against all hope that somehow she can settle this great pain of losing the person who changed her life. And the least she can do is perfume the body and take care of it, and along with the women, they're going to come a little bit later. But when she arrives, the stone is missing. It's been rolled away. And his body isn't there. And the first thought in her mind is, where could they have taken him? And certainly it didn't occur to her he had risen from the dead like he said he would. Now let's leave Mary for a moment and go back in history to another scene with the garden and the tomb. And we now go to Genesis chapter 3 to hear a discussion of a woman in another garden, learning about death, not in Jerusalem, but in Eden. Now the serpent said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" He lies to her. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened. You know, there is a story that I've heard through many places that the thought is that when Eve went to eat that fruit, he waited to see if it would kill her on the spot. And then if it did kill her, then he wouldn't eat. But it didn't kill her, so he ate. Could be true. You know, I bet Adam and Eve fit right into the if-onlys. What do you think? Can you imagine being Adam even now, realizing he brought sin into the world for thousands of years? And thinking, oh, only if we didn't give in and eat that fruit. If only we had listened to God and not listened to that serpent. If only it hadn't affected our future and everybody. But now we are going to die and we will be buried in our own grave, never to be heard of again. And the sinking feeling that they could not reverse or change what had happened. What Adam did, not being deceived and knowing it was absolutely wrong and eventually finding out it turned the whole world to sin that we now live in. Romans 5 says this, therefore, just as though one man sin in, or as through one man sin entered in the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. And Adam eventually died and was placed in a cave, a tomb. 4,000 years later, the last Adam, Jesus, dies and is placed in a cave, in a tomb. And now Mary comes to that tomb, but he's not there. He is risen. But how could that be? He was dead. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood. We've been bought back through his blood, the forgiveness, the dismissal of our sins, according to the riches of his grace," not our grace, not our works, his grace, And it meant Adam and it meant us. And it happened at the cross. And the blood covered Adam, forgiving Adam's sin, forgiving our sin, because Christ was the last Adam. Listen to a couple verses out of 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And so what Adam did pervaded through the whole world. Christ reversed history and gave us salvation because of what he did on the cross. And so we celebrate his death because it forgave our sins, but we celebrate his victory of the grave because it means he walked our path, so we will do the same thing. So Jesus not only reverses the story of Adam, but he reverses your story and my story too. Aren't you glad? Man, then she, Mary, ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb. And he said, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, followed him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. He saw and believed. If the people return to the stage, the worship team, we believe, John believed, the body wasn't stolen. It was occupied. It was occupied by a live Jesus Christ, who we believe in this morning. Amen? There are two tables over here, and there's two tables over here. We are going to participate in the Lord's Supper. If you're new here, everybody can participate. I would ask that if you go get a piece of bread and juice, that you might pick some up for someone else to reduce the lines. And we're going to worship together. We're going to come back, and then we're going to share the Lord's Supper together.